must come from a forgiving heart. An unforgiving heart will not have prayers answered. Mark 11, 24 and 25. Our Lord continues His teaching His disciples in the context of the cursing and withering of the fig tree when He says in verse 24 and 25, "Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you've received it." Now, you know, that's such an amazing statement to make, isn't it? And it's like He's saying, come on, whatever you ask me in prayer, just believe you're going to receive it. It's just wonderful. But what kind of heart can have faith like that? Not one cluttered with unforgiveness, right? You got to have a pure heart. You got to have a heart that's not holding any grudges or unforgiveness toward anyone. The worst, most unpopular teacher in school. You got something against them? Then you can't pray till you give it up. I'm preaching before I finish reading. He says, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you received it and it will be yours. Verse 25. And whenever you stand praying, forgive. If you have anything against anyone, so that your Father also, who is in heaven, and by the way, this is the only place in Mark's Gospel that this phrase, your Father who is in heaven, it's the only place it's used. So that your Father also who is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. Prayer must come from a forgiving heart. What's our Lord Jesus been doing here on His way to the cross? He has especially been bringing the disciples along without them realizing it through enacted parable. The fig tree being cursed and it withers. Through His cleansing and judging of the temple, He's teaching the disciples because soon He's going to be gone from them. 3 years of mentoring them, discipling them, bringing them along, opening their eyes to see truth. 3 years is ending. He's going to be gone soon. And here He starts what He continues soon in the Upper Room Discourse, John 14 through 16, where He teaches them about the Holy Spirit coming. He teaches them about this new covenant. He teaches them about believing prayer. And He says 6 or 7 or 8 times in John's Gospel, in the Upper Room Discourse, ask and you'll receive. Ask that your Father would be glorified. Ask that you might bear much fruit. He's tutoring them increasingly about prayer. But He starts that here in this event. About praying. How? Praying with authority. Praying where answers come. Even mighty answers. Fig trees are withered spiritually. Mountains are moved. Where God hears you praying with such simplicity of faith and dependence and assurance that you are being heard as His child, that you know He's hearing you when you ask, and you do believe in your heart, you have an audience and you're going to be heard. And God is going to answer. Do we pray that way? That's what Jesus is teaching the disciples here. And that's where every child of God needs to come to. That kind of prayer life. 22 through 24, we saw last time that true, God-given, genuine faith is the essential issue. Look back at it. Jesus said, you have faith in God. You have the God kind of faith. You have divinely given faith, like I exhibited when I cursed the fig tree. You have that kind of faith. And then he says, whatever, truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up, thrown in the sea, and doesn't doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will come to pass, it will be done for him. Whatever you ask in prayer, believe you receive it. So faith is essential to this kind of praying. True faith is the essential issue in verses 22 through 24. But it's not the only issue, is it? Verse 25. Our focus today, Jesus links something else to mountain-moving faith. Not only faith, but what else? Forgiveness. He says, and when you stand praying, when you're going to pray like this, if you want to pray to see mighty answers, if you want to learn to pray in faith, there's another issue that has to be real, and that is when you stand praying, forgive. Look at where Jesus is taking them. He's moved from the externals and the physical and the temporal to the spiritual and completely what is in the heart. Praying with a pure heart. Did the Pharisees pray gloriously, eloquently, outwardly? Yes. Was it from a pure heart? No. No. He moves to the spiritual and what's in their heart, praying from a heart that is not only filled with faith, true faith, but also from a heart that is a forgiving heart. Question right here. Do you have a forgiving heart? Or do you have a heart that takes offense and stores up unforgiveness against any little thing to the biggest things that happen to you that you don't like? Do you have a forgiving heart or a grudging, unforgiving heart? That's what Jesus is dealing with here. All the inward spiritual reality. And as He has mentored them and tutored them and had them abide with Him, He's bringing them to the place that they must, when He's gone, out of union with Christ and communion with Christ, abiding in Him, John 15, walking in Him, a life of faith flowing into abiding, powerful prayer. The only one who wants a prayer life like that is the one who will lay hold of it. The one who wants to stay in the shallow lands will. But Jesus is saying, come on, let's go deeper. I want to take you into the realm of prayer that does wither fig trees and does see mountains moved, but it's got to be from a heart that is a forgiving heart. Otherwise, you will not be heard. Here Jesus is telling us that not only is true faith necessary, but also a forgiving heart is just as necessary. And really He shows us in this great bigger passage, 22 through 25, there are really two hindrances to answered prayer. There are two issues that hinder one from laying hold of a lifestyle of answered prayer regularly. The first is unbelief. 22 and 23 and 24. Unbelief. Doubting. Doubting when you pray that your Father is hearing you, or doubting that He will answer. That is double what? Double-mindedness. And James says, be sure that person will receive what? Nothing. Don't pray. If you're going to doubt your gracious prayer-answering Father who has only been good, who keeps His promises, who has displayed His power, if you're going to doubt Him, that is an offense to Him. So don't pray. Don't pray. Rather, not pray if you're going to doubt, then rather not do it. But here Jesus touches on unbelief and He says, if you will believe. So, faith is the first hindrance that has to be dealt with. But the second one is unforgiveness. Unforgiveness. Now, faith is a vertical hindrance. That's between you and your Father in heaven. But unforgiveness is a horizontal hindrance. So Jesus wants to knock away every hindrance and every barrier. The vertical one, unbelief, get rid of it. Believe God. Believe His promises. Believe, when you come to pray, you're standing on the merits of Jesus Christ, not your own merits, not your sincerity, not your goodness, not your death, not your sincerity, nothing in your hands you bring, nothing about yourself. When you come to pray, you are on blood-stained merit alone. The righteousness of Jesus Christ. Here's His work for you. You're on that merit. So you come to pray. And therefore, you know you're being heard because you're a child of God. You deal with that barrier. But then when you pray, you got to deal with this barrier. Can I pray in faith for God to forgive me when I have blown it in sin if I'm holding something against Lee that I feel like he's wronged me? Can I ask for forgiveness if I won't give forgiveness? It's a no-brainer, right? It is. Jesus deals with the horizontal hindrance of forgiveness here. And what's He doing? Think about how He's raised the bar. When Peter said, Lord, look, the fig tree You cursed is withered. Jesus raises the bar when He says, you have that kind of faith too. That's really raising the bar. Now Jesus raises the bar again where He says prayer not only has to be where we are rightly related to our Heavenly Father in true faith, but when you pray, neither can you have any unforgiveness toward others. That's a higher bar still. It's the highest bar. A forgiving heart. Do you and I have a forgiving heart? Forgiving others. So here Jesus says, when you stand praying, first thing, make sure you're forgiving. Make sure you have a forgiving heart. Make sure there's nothing you are holding against someone that has wronged you or done something that displeased you or you feel like was wrong toward you. They don't know about it, maybe, but it's something that you, He says it here in verse 25, if you have anything against someone, it's not them, it's you having something, anything against them. Forgive it. Right? If I want to be heard when I pray, if I want my prayers answered, if I want to see mountains moved, I must make sure I have no unforgiveness in my heart toward others. Forgiving anyone, everyone of anything. Now let's talk about forgiveness. What is forgiveness? You know what many, many people grapple with and they think that this is forgiveness? They think it's an emotional feeling of feeling better toward the person. And so you know what? If they don't feel better ever, if they can't get past the emotional hurt, if they can't get past the feelings of having been wounded or wrong, and those are still there, they believe wrongly that they can't forgive that person. I have to feel okay about them. I have to be over the hurt where I'm not feeling the negative anymore, and then maybe I might could be able to forgive them. That is not forgiveness. Forgiveness has nothing to do with our emotions at all. Forgiveness, you've heard it before, is not a feeling. That may come, hopefully will come, after you forgive. What is forgiveness? Forgiveness is a choice. With your emotional baggage of feelings and hurt, and while the wound's still festering, while the feelings of hate and anger are still lingering, when the mother is at the execution of a serial killer who murdered her child, right down to Philip forgetting to call me back when I wanted him to, so why didn't he call me back? Right down to that. The emotional baggage is there, the feelings are there, all of it's there. Can you still forgive in any scenario? Can you? It's a choice. Forgiveness is a choice for you to say, this issue between me and that person, I am no longer going to hold on to it. I'm going to let go of it. I'm going to forgive it. I'm going to count it as paid. I'm going to cancel the debt. I am not going to hold on to this anymore. I'm going to release it. Can you do that without emotion? Yes, you can. I remember 20 years ago, a dear brother I was very close to did something that so wounded me, it took me months to get over it. And after he did it, it brought me to tears different days. And it was just a cloud there of sadness and wound. The wound was oozing. It was fresh and real. And you know what happened? I took a long walk. And I said, Lord, He is yours. This is yours. Take it. I release it. I'm not going to let it be an issue anymore between He and I. I don't hold anything. I give it up to You. It's yours. And I choose to love Him. And you know what happened? From that afternoon on, I began to feel free and positive toward Him. And since then, we've had a great relationship. Nothing between me and Him. Jesus said, whenever you stand praying, forgive. If you have anything against anyone, whenever, said, when you stand praying, whenever you stand praying, that means there's no time ever that you don't have the responsibility to forgive, to choose to forgive, to release them. Every time you and I would pray, if we sense or remember that we have something against someone, right then, in prayer, forgive them. Father, I let them go. I let this go. I will not hold on to it. It's a choice. Remember Matthew 18. Peter asked Jesus, Lord, how often shall I forgive my brother when he messes up, when he sins against me? Even up to 7 times? I say, Peter, not 7 times only, 7 times 70. There is never a time, there will never be a place you get to, if someone wrongs you, that you can have an out to hold a grudge, to be unforgiving. Every time you would pray, you must make sure you have a forgiving heart toward others. If you have something against anyone, forgive. Anything. A family member forgets your birthday. That happens to me all the time. Not Linda, I promise you that. She remembers everybody's birthday. I'm battling remember my children's birthdays. But somebody forgets your birthday. Someone doesn't call you back. These things can crop up in the heart and bring an offense and bring in your mind a barrier between you and them. Within a church body, any little thing can bring a wedge. Somebody fails to be as loving as they should. Someone doesn't do something. There's all kinds of things that can happen that can make us have aught against others. Young people, your dad is a little sharp with you. Are you going to hold it in your heart toward him? Your mom doesn't fix what you wanted her fixed for supper. You were hoping she might fix. Are you going to eat with a bad attitude? A teacher offends you at school. They're not fair toward you. Or you get a B or a C, and you know you deserved a higher grade. You know you did. But they gave you a lower mark. What's your attitude like toward that teacher? You're going to come back to school the next day and have an attitude toward them in your heart? I remember my senior year in college, my senior philosophy professor in advanced philosophy, our whole grade was one test. And the test was this. You went in his office and you had an oral exam over all the material. And he asked you questions. He talked about intimidation. I went in there. I did the best I could. And I found out after that, I got a C. You know what I did? Praise God for a C. I thought I'd made a D or worse. Well, I didn't deserve the C, I'm sure. But you know what? There was nothing to forgive, was there? It was mercy and grace. But if you don't get the grade you think you need, the issue in the heart arises. How's my attitude? Do I have a forgiving heart? Children, do you forgive your parents from the heart when they make you mad? Your dad, your mom. You don't like how someone does something because it's not the way you would do it. So you get an attitude toward them. Somebody is late for a meeting. They're not there on time. They make you late. Right down to they're just not friendly enough. I don't think they like me. Therefore, attitude. These things hit us right where we are. Your cousins come over to play, and your cousin starts playing with the toy or book you wanted to use. So you're gonna show them, you're not gonna play with them, you're not gonna be friendly to them, so you're holding that against them. Jesus says here, when you stand praying, forgive anyone, anywhere, anytime, for whatever they've done, why should you? Because your Father in heaven is seeing, He's there with you, He knows, He sees and knows, and He will be there at the throne of grace the next time you come to pray, so forgive now, so you'll be heard when you come to pray. This includes two realities. When you stand praying, forgive. This includes two realities. Number one, it includes specific things others have done toward you. There are many cases where believers have broken relationships, issues from the past that alienated, separated you from someone else, and the relationship's never been the same. This doesn't mean you go try to correct all that. They might not be open to it. It might open up a problem that you don't need to open up. This is between you and God only. But the issue is, are there people that you have never forgiven? Your dad wronged you. Your mother abused you, neglected you. Others in your family hurt you. People took things and never returned them. Wrong things from your past. If God shows you anyone in any situation from the past, you have not brought that to the Lord and said, Father, this has been an issue. I'm tired of it being an issue. I'm going to forgive them. I'm going to cancel that. I'm not going to hold on to it anymore. Now, you help me with the feelings and the emotions and all that, but right now this is gone. This is canceled before you because you have forgiven me of everything. It includes specifics. But not only specifics. Jesus has this also in mind. Living with an attitude and a heart that is forgiving. A heart attitude of perpetual forgiveness. Someone offends you, love doesn't take it into account. 1 Corinthians 13:5, that Lee's going to get to, I won't steal his thunder, but it says this, love does not take into account a wrong suffered. Are you going to get offended? Or is your heart going to take up an offense when someone does wrong you? And if, as long as you live in this life, as long as you are alive here before the grave, there are going to be those things come. In the world, you'll have tribulation. In the world, you're going to have people mad at you, speak wrongly about you, gossip about you. You're going to have Christians and unbelievers both fail you, fall short at times. When that comes to you, are you going to have a heart that just says, love covers a multitude of sin. I'm not going to take that. I'm not going to be unforgiving. I'm going to forgive them now and not receive it. Love covers a multitude of sin. This kind of heart that develops a forgiving heart, a forgiving attitude, will always be heard in prayer. So Jesus teaches, and true believers learn to practice Matthew 6:12. Forgive us our debts as we forgive those who are indebted to us. Luke 6. Be merciful even as your Father in heaven is merciful. Forgive and you will be forgiven. Jesus, great example on the cross. Father, forgive them. For they know not what they do. Colossians 3:13. Just listen to this. You talk about practical. Colossians 3:13 says this. Bearing with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is what? Faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Listen, if others wrong us, you want to be like God, you want to be like Jesus, when others wrong you, just be faithful and just to forgive them. God will deal with them. You just keep a free heart. You keep a free heart that's freed up from storing up offenses. And it's, you talk about a joyful heart, a light heart, a happy heart, a heart that will have confidence before God when you pray. A forgiving heart. A forgiving heart. Brother Ray, you ever had church members wrong you? Many times. 60 years. 60 years. Many, many times people hurt within the body of Christ. You know, it's like the poet said, to live above with the saints we love, that will be glory, glory. But to live below with the saints we know, that's another story. It is hard to walk together, isn't it? It is hard to live with one another. The family unit, The church body is a family. Learning to forgive. But it really ultimately must be, I must have a heart that is forgiving so I don't take offenses in light of how much God has forgiven me. If my brother has a little speck, a little molehill of sin against me, just measure it before the immense mountain of my sin before God. It doesn't measure up. As your Father in heaven has forgiven you, so do ye. You see, law, legalism, trying to perform that duty without being in your heart, it doesn't work, does it? It's got to come from the heart. If you, from your heart, don't forgive others their trespasses. What does it mean if we won't forgive? Look at the end of verse 25. Mark 11, 25. Look at the end of it. So that your Father also who is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. When you come to pray, forgive if you have anything against anyone. So that, conditional. It's forgiveness of a believer when they come to pray is conditioned upon you having a heart of forgiveness. What does it mean if we won't forgive? What does it mean if you think you cannot forgive, which is a lie? You can forgive. What does it mean if we won't forgive? It means that the pain and wound and the hurt, the offense, we want to hold on to, we don't want to give it up. Listen, we have to, you have to let go of it. If you want to be forgiven, you have to let go of it. It's like facing the pain. You got to face the fear. You got to face the offense. You got to face the wound of what they did to you. Face it. Stand up. Look at it in the face and say to it, I will not hold on to you anymore. I'm going to be free. I don't want to be in the prison of unforgiveness any longer. Because you know what? I would rather have my prayers answered. I'd rather have a clear conscience and a free heart than hold on to my wound and my hurt, and my offense, and my misery any longer. Got to let go of it so that you can be free and healed. What does it mean if we won't forgive? It means that we have an unforgiving heart. And an unforgiving heart is an unforgiven heart. If you don't have it within you to forgive others, it means you are lost in your sin and you are unforgiven. God has never forgiven one of your sins ever. If you have an unforgiving heart. It means if you won't forgive others, it means you will not be forgiven. You cannot be forgiven if you won't turn from your unforgiveness. It means you have no consciousness of the grace that you've received and that you need. If you won't forgive someone else, why should others forgive you? Especially God. Do you need continual forgiveness? Answer the question in your heart right now. Do you need regularly, always, do you stand in need of forgiveness? Because you sin, you blow it, you get irritated with your children, you have sins of commission, sins of omission. Do you have need of forgiveness? then face this issue of forgiving others. To anyone who cannot or will not forgive, Jesus is saying here, you will not be forgiven. You cannot be forgiven. You are shut out from forgiveness. You are locked up in a prison of unforgiveness. And my question to the one who won't forgive, will you actually be willing to perish and go to hell because you won't forgive someone else? Seriously? Would you rest your eternal destiny on holding on to one offense from somebody from the past? The one who won't give forgiveness will never receive forgiveness. But they will stay in misery and defeat and bondage and hard-heartedness. Unforgiveness, Jesus is saying here, for some is the one thing that hinders God from hearing your prayers and showing you mercy and greatly giving you answers. What's the remedy? Be honest with Jesus Christ and come to Him with it. Lord, this is me. I'm guilty. I have no more excuses, no more justification, no more rationalization, no more excuses, Lord. I have had a heart of unforgiveness. And I'm tired of it. In light of Your truth, in light of Your presence, in light of Calvary, in light of the great forgiveness of God, how can I any longer hold unforgiveness toward anyone? It's ludicrous. It's insanity. It's wrong. I'm coming in the light. Lord, I'm going to forgive everybody from my heart. Anything they have ever done to me, I release them now. You don't have to remember them all. You don't have to drum them up again. Just let it all go. Just get rid of it. Lord, I'm coming to You. I want a pure heart. And I forgive the world. I forgive everybody that's ever done anything to me. I'm releasing them right now. Every debt is canceled. I let them go. And I want to be out of this prison. I want to be free. Is that you? Today, come to the Lord Jesus and just say, here's my heart. I tell you what you ask in prayer. Believe that you receive, and it'll be yours. And when you stand praying, forgive. If you have anything against anyone, in order that your Father in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. Let's pray. Oh Lord, I ask that the working of Your Holy Spirit would set our hearts free today. Help us, draw us, Lord, and we'll come. Come to You, the great forgiver. Lord, help us to come to You and bring with us words and ask pardon and ask cleansing and ask freedom. And Lord, grant us release from everything that we would have against anyone. Blessed be Your name, Lord, for the truth that stabs us, that wounds us, and then that heals us and liberates us, sanctifies through Your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to sing a hymn. Rebecca, could you come back to the piano?